Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, it's great to have our friend Tim and Savage sidekicking with us here for this special Christmas Eve live show here on Montana Talks. We're going to have a great best of program for you tomorrow. Big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, for putting that whole best of program for you. Friday, a Billings City Council member, Scott Aspenlighter, is going to be in the big chair, and he always brings some great guests whenever he's guest hosting the show for us. So he'll be in on Friday. That'll be a great show for you. And then we're live pretty much all next week as well, other than another best of show for New Year's Day. Hey, Tim, about an hour ago when we kicked off the show, we were talking about the warm-up music we were listening to. We kind of tuned out a little bit of the news here earlier this morning, playing some music, getting ready for the show. What were you listening to again about an hour ago?
Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Mannheim Steamroller.
The Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Okay, I had to double check because I was just laughing my butt off. I had neglected to check the messages coming in on the Montana Talks app. So when we went to the last Fox News update, I thought, oh, I'm going to go check the messages here because we got some messages that are coming in. This one came in from Andy in Whitefish. He said, there is no way that whole orchestra is trans. No way the whole orchestra is trans with the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Well, who knows what happens in Siberia?
What happens in Siberia? Yeah, actually, you got to put a Russian spin on it. What happens in Siberia? Stay in Siberia. Yeah. So who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows when it comes to that Trans-Siberian Orchestra? All right, that's hilarious. Thanks for the good laugh here this morning, Andy in Whitefish. All right, Tim, what should we talk about this hour of the show? We got to get to your Christmas message. I know we only got a couple of minutes before the first break here, but yeah, give us your elevator pitch. What's your Christmas message going to be in your Mondakistan church later today?
Well, I actually have four services today. It's spread out all around the county and over into North Dakota as well. And basically, I'm talking about how all of these traditions and beliefs that we have, there's not very many of them are scriptural, not very many of them are biblical. We get sucked in to this, our 21st century thinking of this is what Christmas means, this is what Christmas was about, and we have lost the meaning of it. And that without even realizing it, it's exactly what we talked about in the last hour. The Montana Constitution was written in a different time period, and it's not reflective of today. But then today, when we look at Christmas as Christians, we are so sucked into the commercialism. We get so sucked into making sure we have the right color of the Advent candles and all these different things that we do, and we have lost the concept of what Jesus came into this world for.
Very interesting. The pastor of the church we've been going to last Sunday, actually, he's from Glendive originally, but he reminded everybody that when the angel appeared to Mary, what was the message from the angel? Do not be afraid. And I've got a really good mentor of mine who said that if you compile all the commands in the Bible, what command is spelled out more times than any other command in the Bible? Do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid. But yet how many people are just so gripped by fear, gripped by anxiety, and especially during the holiday season. So I can't wait to hear more about your message. Stand by, Tim.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy, or to high of 51. Tonight, becoming cloudy, chance of seeing some light rain, a low near 35. On Christmas Day, occasional sun, chance of seeing some light rain, high near 54. Thursday night, cloudy, a low near 36. High of 56 on Friday, mainly sunny. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, you're stuck with me till Christmas, but we got a great Christmas Eve show coming up for you here on Montana Talks. Aaron Schofield is the Montana director for a group called Promise 686, mobilizing church communities to care for vulnerable children. We'll have him on the show, along with Steve Scanson, the director of church engagement for an organization called Communio. That and more Wednesday's Montana Talks.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, Tim, first off, tell our listeners, if they happen to be in the Mondakistan border regions this Christmas on deployment, or living there already, of course, where can they find you later today for Christmas Eve services? And then tell us what your message is going to be, a little bit more about it.
Well, at 10 o'clock, I'll be at the Savage Sunrise Manor. That's an assisted living facility here in town. So we've got a 10 a.m. service there. And then I'll be heading out to, and this is where the Mondakistan part comes in, Grace Lutheran Church, which is has an address of Squaw Gap. We meet at the at Scar, North Dakota, and it's at the Squaw Gap Community Hall. We'll be meeting there at 2 o'clock today, and that's for the Grace Lutheran Church congregation and everybody in that Scar, Squaw Gap area north of Beach. And then at 4:30, out to First Lutheran Church in Lambert, and then back in Savage at 7 p.m. for a service at First Lutheran Church here in Savage. So making a circuit there, I'll swing through the extended care nursing home in Sydney in between there and visit a few people in between on my way out.
That's awesome. That's absolutely incredible. And so you kind of gave us the Cliff Notes version of what your message is going to be. But, well, so I think a lot of us can already think of examples of the consumerism in today's culture and the way everybody tries to make, well, this is what this means to me. Okay, well, nice, but shouldn't you look at what it actually means? Not what it means to you, but what it actually means. So what is the actual meaning and message of Christmas?
Well, it's so much of what we do is tied to the denominationalism, and I've continued to rail against that. I mean, we are just absolutely convinced that my church is the church that does it right, and your church, you guys aren't quite there, and you're wrong on this, and that's right. And we've continued to fracture the churches, and I can say that I serve four different churches, two different denominations, and every one of the churches are a little bit different traditions, but we get so stuck into believing that these traditions are exactly what is reality, and that's not the case. I mean, we need to separate our human traditions and our family traditions and our community traditions away from what is important and what is scriptural, you know, and the corruptness of the church way back, you know, 500 plus years ago, there's still corruptness in the church today. But the whole Christmas message is awkward and messy because we don't know exactly. And I start off thinking, well, who said that Christmas was on December 25th? Is that in the scripture? No. That's something that they came up with 300 years later. They didn't celebrate Christmas until Pope Pius decided that, well, we need to do this. And in fact, he did it as a way to try to get some butts in the seat. And it was piled on top of a pagan festival that was already taking place. And so Pope Pius back in third century Rome. And why did he pick December 25th? Well, this belief that, well, maybe Jesus was conceived exactly a year before, or exactly on the anniversary of his death, and so 9 months away from when they celebrated Passover on March 25th, so he picked December 25th. I mean, that's these different things, what we believe are theological and what are actually human tradition. And so I talk about a lot of those things. My background as a historian and a teacher comes out in this a lot. But I want to bring it back to, so what matters? Where do we find Christ today? And just an excerpt of this is, I say, oh, how about the person that shovels the sidewalks of their neighbors? The small child who puts their allowance in the red kettle rather than buy candy for themselves? The people who give bags of food to the food bank? Or the people who wear a pager on their hip and are willing to go out any point, day or night, to help out a stranger in an emergency? And Reverend Dr. David Lowe says, God keeps showing up where we least expect God to be, in the manger, on the cross, in the bread and wine and water of the sacraments, and in the face of our neighbor's need. And it's awkward. It's messy. It's not this nice, perfect little Christmas card vision that we want to see. And we need to make sure that we remember what those roots are. And the message is taking care of God's children and helping one another. And we've got the entire Bible, which is very thick and very wordy, and it all comes down to love God, love your neighbor. And we, as human beings, we complicate the heck out of it.
You know, I was thinking, as you're talking about this, it'd be really fun. I don't know if you ever watched Del Tackett's The Truth Project, and when he starts getting into the stars and the stars predicting Jesus' birth and all of these things, man, it is fascinating. I think Eric Metaxas, in his book, Is Atheism Dead?, also gets into some of that as well. But, man, that would be something that would be kind of fun to watch this Christmas, you know. And the other thing that's kind of funny, I kind of laugh about, you talk about, you know, people getting caught up in traditions. Well, what is tradition? You know, is tradition something that's 10 years old, 100 years old, 2,000 years old? You know, when it comes to Christmas music, it's funny. You got those people that are like, I want the original Christmas music. You know, I want the Christmas music that we listened to when I was a kid. But then it's just like, okay, but at some point that was new. And I'll bet you there was somebody complaining, I want the stuff that we listened to when I was a kid, you know. So like Silent Night, when it first came out, I'm sure there were people saying, oh, I don't want this modern music. I want the original stuff.
Yeah, and that's with your Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There's some people that really don't like that. And I think Sean Hannity was talking about this last couple of weeks. And, you know, there's just something about that. And maybe it's because I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I love that driving rock beat behind it. I love the electric guitars and tie that into those traditional Christmas songs but sung in a different way and played in a different way. I mean, they really speak to me in a deep spiritual way.
Mariah Carey of the 90s had some great Christmas hits, of course, as well. Yeah. And I still love the old Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole stuff. My grandma always played the great the Frank Sinatra stuff, too.
This is House Call for Health. What helps to get you feeling festive? For those of legal drinking age, a little eggnog or mulled wine could help set the holiday mood. But with a growing sector of the population moving towards alcohol-free options, more people may be choosing to abstain from drinks at bars or house parties this season. And a recent study suggests many of those folks no longer feel the need to provide an excuse. The study from Heineken 0.0, in partnership with Sober Curious author Ruby Warrington, finds 72% of people feel comfortable turning down alcohol without feeling judged. Analysts also found 67% think it's not cool to ask why someone is abstaining. And while a previous study from Heineken revealed this mindset was popular with members of Gen Z, they say other generations are rapidly following. 90% of people saying they would support their friend in choosing a low or alcohol-free drink. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Good Christmas Eve, everyone. What is in store for Santa and his reindeer later on this evening as he delivers presents to good boys and girls across the globe? Well, there might be some areas of concerning weather across his journey, especially some cold temperatures in the northern tier states, according to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
In terms of really cold conditions, it's going to be near the Canadian border and just to the south. So really just the northern tier of the United States is a cold concern.
But even those cold temperatures won't slow down Santa and his reindeer. Of course, Rudolph may be needed if there's too much cloud density.
My hope is that things can move pretty quickly as we move across the Americas with pretty good weather there. And so if there's any delays at the tail end, and if Rudolph has to be called into duty for the North Pacific and Southern Alaska, if we lose a little time there, hopefully we've made up enough time earlier that Santa can finish everything on time.
We should also note that animal health officials on both the state and national level have cleared Santa's reindeer to enter into the United States with no issues with those reindeer. Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you can jump in on the conversation here as well. Call 406-294-0970 or feel free to just drop us a quick message on the Montana Talks app as well. We've got Tim in Savage sidekicking with us here in the early morning hours of the show. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got a couple of great guests joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. John Lott. A gun rights expert, author. You know the name John Lott if you've been following our Second Amendment rights the debates over the years. He is actually now lives in Missoula and is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We tried to get him on last week, but we had such a busy lineup last week, we're sneaking him on today. And so we're going to talk. He wrote a piece for The Federalist talking about the recent attack on Jewish Hanukkah the folks that were celebrating Hanukkah in Australia. So we're going to get into that story in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, and then Lisa Goodman with Love Inc. of Lincoln County, of South Lincoln County in Libby. We're going to catch up with her, talk about these recent floods, the recent storms, and really follow up on some of the great conversations that we had with Lisa over the past year or so. We did a live show in Libby, for example. She joined us during the Governor's Cup in Columbia Falls as well. Back to Tim and Savage. Tim, yeah, I mentioned how, you know, this Christmas message of do not be afraid also stands out. This is also a part of the Christmas story when the angel came to Mary and said, do not be afraid. And then I mentioned how, a mentor that I greatly respect in the Christian community, he actually ran the numbers and he said that command is the command listed more than any other command in all of the Bible. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. And yet how many people fear and worry and anxiety is on steroids during the holidays?
Exactly. And it's such a source of so much of the mental health challenges that we face is that anxiety. And not to make everything political, but I mean, human beings are political. Anything that involves humans and our beliefs, it ends up being political. But this fear that the world is going to come to an end and we have to do it, and the held children being manipulated and claiming, well, they just can't sleep at night, and they have this horrible anxiety because they fear the world. And that poor Greta Thunberg and how she's been manipulated around and fearing all of these different things. And it's just so twisted, and this anxiety that we have to do something. And it's just this belief that human beings can do all of this, and we have got to just let it go, do what you can do, and give the rest to God. And the anxiety that so many people feel, especially this time of year, there's a belief, do not fear is 365 times in the scripture. That's a little bit of an urban legend, but it is still more than any other commandment, more than any other thing. We just need to realize what we can do, what we are supposed to do, and give the rest to God and trust in him. But we get so much tied up into believing that we are the decider of everything in the universe, and we can do this, and we can change the climate, and we can change the ice pack, and we can change the height of the ocean. And it's like, oh, for Pete's sake, you're just a small being. You're important in God's eyes, but on this rock, you really aren't going to do much. So let it go and trust in the Lord. Hand things over to him. And then it leads to the substance abuse problems because people don't know how to cope with that level of anxiety. And so there's so much evidence out there that shows that substance abuse issues and treatment programs are much more successful when they're Christ-based and when you have that religious foundation. And people who have anxiety and depression disorders, you can work through those. Yes, with counseling, yes, with some medications, but you also have to have Christ in your corner as well. And you need to accept that God is our Savior. Jesus came to save the world, and give thanks to him. This whole being of living on this planet and life was not some cosmic accident. It was a design. There was a divine design involved there. And when we start to believe that we are more powerful, that's when we start getting all of this anxiety.
You know, you said the word politics there, and obviously we talk a lot of news and politics on this show, but we also mix it up and talk about other things as well. But, you know, news and politics is what people listening to news talk radio want to talk about. Allie Beth Stuckey spoke at the Turning Point USA AmFest 2025 last weekend. My wife actually sent me a clip from Allie Beth Stuckey's speech, and she basically said, because you get a lot of Christians out there, oh, well, I don't really get into politics. I don't really do politics. I don't really talk politics. Well, if you care about people, don't you care about policy? If you care about policy, you have to care about politics. If you care about people, don't you care about where your country is headed, where your school board is headed, where your city council is headed, where your state is headed? How can you claim that you care about people if you ignore all of these things that have such a big impact on people? All right, actually, this works out to be a really good tie-in, because I also wanted to talk about another major tragic story this year, and of course, it's going to continue to be a story heading into 2026 as well, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and I want to tie it in with the beheading of John the Baptist, because that's another big part of the Christmas story, is also John the Baptist, right? But first, here is the Allie Beth Stuckey soundbite from the Turning Point USA AmFest 2025 event that just took place this last week, and this is what I was kind of previewing for you right before that Fox News update.
Our motto. But let me tell you, as a Christian, something that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but I know everyone in this room wants to hear and agrees with. One way that Christians can glorify God, one way that Christians can love our neighbor as we await the perfect and sure victory of Jesus Christ is through politics. It's through politics. See, politics matter because policy matters, because people matter. Politics affects policy. Policy affects people. People are made in the image of God. People matter to God, and therefore, they matter to us. And so, Christians don't have an option, nor should we want the option not to be political. That doesn't mean that politics is the primary way or the only way that we love our neighbor, but it is a way to love our neighbor. Because our most vulnerable neighbors are affected by politics, which affect policy. Our unborn neighbor is affected by our politics. The child who is confused about their gender is affected by our politics.
All right, and of course, we could give several other examples to that, but Tim, your thoughts on what Allie Beth Stuckey had to say. We got about 1 minute before the next break.
Well, I agree completely. Politics, we must get involved in politics. You were mentioning John the Baptist. Why did John the Baptist get himself executed? Well, he called out King Herod and said, look, that's not right that you married your brother's wife. That's what he did. And he continued to speak out against that. He used words. And for that, he ended up being beheaded for it. And you think about Martin Luther and what he did throughout the Reformation. And, you know, he was under threat of death, and he had to hide and escape. What did he do? He used words to call out corruption in the church. And what got Charlie Kirk killed? He was using words, and it's just engaging people in conversation. And we have to continue this. We have to use our words. We have to be involved in politics. That's the only way to shape society and to change it. We can't just bury our head in the sand and clutch our pearls and our crosses and say, well, I'm just going to be above politics. We are called to be part of it. Jesus did that. John the Baptist did that. Charlie Kirk did that.
And, of course, it doesn't mean that government and politics is the most important thing out there, but it is important. All right, well said by Tim and Savage. Back after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
page has got a great message on the Montana Talks app from Cameron in Billings. Merry Christmas Eve. Cameron, thank you, and Merry Christmas Eve to you as well. Yeah, I know we don't agree on everything, but I really appreciate getting your messages. Yeah, call in sometime as well. The messages are great, though, but yeah, we also love it when people call into the show. You can call in right now, 406-294-0970, if you want to jump in on the conversation here or got something else you want to talk about. Tim and Savage, our friend Tim and Savage, is helping sidekick the show here for the first couple hours on this Christmas Eve. So, Tim, I mentioned this to you during the break, and I think I mentioned this on the air before as well. You know, one of the most tragic stories of 2025, and this is going to play out. We're going to see how this might play out into 2026 and the midterm elections as well, and where this Turning Point USA movement goes and where Gen Z goes in the year and the years ahead. But the assassination of the great Charlie Kirk, that Christian mentor that I mentioned earlier, and of course you're the pastor. I'm probably one of the furthest things from a pastor, so I'm not going to pretend to be pastor or ever pretend to be holier than thou or anything like that, right? But this Christian mentor friend of mine who also produced that list of the commands that shows that the command more often in the Bible than any other command is do not fear, do not be afraid, do not worry, etc. He also had a lot of people coming to him after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk is such a strong Christian, saying, hey, what does this mean? What are your thoughts on all of this? And his response was, well, let's go back and look at how Jesus responded to the beheading of John the Baptist. And I thought it was really interesting because we're going to be talking about Libby, Montana in about an hour with Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ in Libby. But, I went to Libby. We did a live show from Libby, and I'd been wanting to do a live show from there anyway because we wanted to talk the economy. We wanted to talk mining. We wanted to talk timber. I was in Libby last year doing a big event, for our Bidenomics series with AFP Montana, and so I wanted to go back and do a follow-up. But I timed it with, I knew that they were doing a big celebration of life for Charlie Kirk in Libby, so I wanted to time it, go to the celebration of life and then do a live show the next morning. So that's what we did, and I thought it was so interesting because this mentor, he said, how did Jesus respond to the beheading of John the Baptist? Well, he basically went and fed the hungry and had meals and had fellowship with fellow believers. And I thought it was so interesting because that's exactly what they did in Libby. They had a big chili feed for people. They fed people. They played Christian music, worship songs. And they just basically had community and fellowship together, which is basically what Jesus did after the beheading of John the Baptist.
And that's exactly right. And that's what is opposite of what the devil does. And that's what, when there's hate in the world, when there's something that you don't like, or some decision or a court case or something that happens that frustrates you and hurts you deep inside, what we do as Christians is we go out and we take care of God's people. We love on them. We do stuff. We help those without homes. We feed those who are hungry. We visit those who are sick. We care for our neighbor, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, as God loves us. We don't go out and loot and burn and riot and say, well, it's just because we're mad and we're angry about this. No, that is not what the example that Jesus gave to us. Jesus said to go out and take care of his people. And that's what we're called to do. That's our number one thing we are called to be doing, is to take care of God's people. And that's our number one responsibility. And yes, politics ends up playing a huge role in it, because it shapes policy and it shapes what we are to do as a society. Because whether you follow Christ's teachings or not, there are just basic things to do to take care of one another. And, we should be following the example that Christ gave us.
Well, and I would just throw in there, since this is a news talk show, a news talk format, by the way, when you're called to take care of one another, you're supposed to be a cheerful giver, freely giving to help others. not force, not government. You know, are called to do that with a happy and cheerful heart, right, Tim? And because there's so many people say, well, we're commanded to give. We're commanded to help others. And so that's why we need to force everybody to give all this money to the government so that the government can take care of people. And then we find that the government really doesn't do a good job of taking care of people. In fact, sometimes the government actually makes it worse for people and makes people dependent on the government. And that's not the intent either. And so, again, that goes back to Ali Beth Stecky's point about, you know, if you care about people, you should care about outcomes, but also caring for people doesn't mean you do it through the government.
Exactly. Well, and you see what happened, the whole BLM, all of the money that they raised and all that they said they were doing all this good. Well, yeah, the organizers did very well indeed in buying their mansions and their homes and all of their, you know, it's just wasted. And it's, you know, it's money that was not given with a cheerful heart. It was money that was given out of coercion that people felt, well, they had to do it, and they had to do it because to show how much more pious they were than everybody else. And if you're ever doing anything to demonstrate your piety, then you're doing it with the wrong sort of a heart, and it's not what God calls us to do.
All right, into the phone lines we go. Nancy in Roundup, Merry Christmas to you. Great to hear from you, Nancy.
Well, Merry Christmas to the Montana Talks family, and Tim, Merry Christmas to you and yours. And you're mentioning Jesus so much this morning, and what I want to say is that the other day when I said that I believe that the holy wars have started globally, I really meant it. I do believe this, and especially in the sub-Saharan region in the world, Christians are just being beheaded left and right by Islamists. And I have to say something about Pope Leo. His silence on this has been deafening. And what I want to say is I want to share a prophecy that I have read. It comes out of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were written at the time that Jesus walked the earth. And they were discovered in 1947 by some Bedouin shepherds in a cave. And it mentions a antichrist, a very tall, charismatic man born in the Middle East, either in or around the year of 1963. He will be the Antichrist. And it talks about a time of the world when it's all balls of fire, which I think they're trying to describe a nuclear war. And this is when Christ will make his second appearing. And his power will be far greater than that of the Antichrist, and he will destroy this Antichrist, and God will be very pleased and grant mankind with eternal peace. We will live in a world without wars, and that is my greatest wish this Christmas, that the world will see peace.
That what a great message of the world seeing peace this Christmas. There was a thought that came to mind there. Nancy, thanks for the call. What was I just thinking? Oh, shoot. Anyway, Tim and Savage, yeah, your thoughts.
Well, yeah, thank you. Merry Christmas, Nancy. One of the difficulties that we face as Christians is that we're still living in the end times. We're still waiting for Jesus to return. Remember that those disciples that were with Jesus after the resurrection and he promised he would be back, they were absolutely convinced he was going to return during their life. They knew he was going to be back soon. That were our hymn, soon and very soon. It's so powerful. And we keep thinking, well, soon. Well, we're going on, it's 2 millennia now. When is soon going to happen? When are these end times going to occur? And we've been waiting for the end times. We've been waiting for the second coming of Jesus for almost 2,000 years, but our time period is not the same as God's, and that's where we get kind of twisted up, is we're thinking that this has to happen soon, and it will, in God's eyes, and we just need to be prepared.
I know the thought that came to mind as Nancy was talking. She talked about there being a holy war, and yeah, we see radical Islam on the march all over the world, and even right here in the United States of America. That brought to mind, again, going back to the Charlie Kirk assassination. You know, Jessica and I, when we were driving through the beautiful Swan Valley, you know, which is like heaven on earth, right? It was like glass that day. As we were listening to the radio, KJJR, as we heard the news that Charlie Kirk had been killed, she hit the nail on the head. She said, this is not political. This is spiritual. And we very, very clearly see that this, you know, this transgender activist assassin who killed Charlie Kirk, this was more than political. This was spiritual. This was straight up evil. And I think we really do. We are seeing a spiritual battle in the United States of America right now. 30 seconds before the break. Your thoughts, Tim?
Well, yeah, and I remember exactly where I was in those emotions running through me when I saw the Twin Towers being taken down and watching those planes crash into there, and that realization that these are end times. And the same thing, I was on the road, I think I texted you right away as soon as I heard about Charlie Kirk. And it's like, this is pure evil, and this is a demonstration of evil, because Charlie Kirk committed the horrendous sin of talking.
Fox Sports Update.
It's doing work right now. Cooper flag again.
Welcome to the Coop Show.
The Coop Show. Dallas Mavericks rookie Cooper Flagg, the star of last night's one-point win over the Nuggets on NBC Peacock. The number one overall pick in this year's draft scored 33 points, nearly had a triple-double. Flagg had 33 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. Dallas beat Denver 131-130. Cooper Flagg matched his career best point total for one quarter. He scored 14 in the first last night, a perfect 7-of-7 shooting, including two makes from long range. 28 of the NBA's 30 teams played last night. The league has off tonight for Christmas Eve before 5 games tomorrow, including games for the Mavericks and the Nuggets. Dallas will play at Golden State tomorrow. Denver will be home against Minnesota. The Timberwolves last night beat the Knicks in Minneapolis 115-104. 38 points for Anthony Edwards. First time the Timberwolves scored a win against former team star Karl Anthony Towns, who scored a season-high 40 points for New York, but fouled out. Minnesota improved its record to 20-10 and dropped the Knicks to 20-9. Tomorrow, the Knicks will be home to open the 5-game NBA Christmas Day schedule for a contest against the Cavaliers. Cleveland last night clobbered New Orleans 141-118. 9 Cavaliers players scored in double figures. Just the second time in team history this has happened. League best Oklahoma City lost for the third time in 5 games since they opened the season 24-1. The reigning champs now 26-4 after the Thunder lost to the Spurs for the second time in 10 days, 130-110. San Antonio has won 7 games in a row. In Englewood, Kawhi Leonard had a giant night for the Clippers, 41 points against the Rockets in a 128-108 victory for Los Angeles. It's game on with the Fox Sports app, available wherever you download apps. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy, with a high of 51 tonight. Becoming cloudy, chance of seeing some light rain, a low near 35. On Christmas Day, occasional sun, chance of seeing some light rain, high near 54. Thursday night, cloudy, a low near 36. High of 56 on Friday, mainly sunny. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
So I wanted to take a look back at our top stories for 2025, but not just some list that we threw together. I wanted to look at our top stories for 2025 based off of your page views here in Montana. We've got the full top 10 list now posted. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, or if you got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you'll see it there. Remember that Billings teacher who celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk?
You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I just got a message in from Lori in Billings. Lori says this: have you noticed that when Kamala does her "How dare we speak Merry Christmas," she sounds like Greta Thunberg in her "How dare you" speech. Just saying. That's from Lori in Billings. Lori, I guess I haven't heard the Kamala "How dare we speak Merry Christmas" video. So, but she sent a couple leaks off to see if I can check that out. We've got Tom in Billings on the phone lines. Tom, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling in. What did you want to share?
Well, Aaron, Merry Christmas. God bless you. and your family.
You as well.
As an ordained minister, former Catholic, I want to say a little bit about I stand with Mondakistan and Savage. Politics is very ruthless. As you know, I've been in politics. We need to forgive and forget everybody that has ever wronged us. The Lord will provide. This is the eve of our Lord and Savior. And we need to be fruitful in our ways of doing things. You can't hate your enemies. You have to let what your enemies do, what they do, and they will be judged by our Lord and Savior.
You know, that's a really good message because, hey, look, are there going to be differences on policy issues? Are there going to be elections where you're still going to campaign with or against certain folks? Yes, right? There's still going to be accountability. There still has to be accountability. But no, I think, Tim, I think what I like about Tom's message there, Tim, is there are some people in politics that they hold such big grudges that they can never let it go. Tim, your thoughts?
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, what Tom was saying there, we need to forgive, and we continue to challenge, we continue to question, and that was the power of Charlie Kirk, is that he wanted to engage with anybody, he wanted to have you challenge, and I love engaging with people that challenge my beliefs. That's the only way that we can grow from them. But in the end, we do so out of love, we do so out of caring, and we just a desire to learn more. That's the only way we'll ever learn more, because otherwise we're just stuck in our own beliefs and we're never going to grow and change and evolve. And so that's an important thing. But we do it with love and respect and forgiveness. And there's people that I love very dearly, and I completely disagree with their politics, their interpretation of scripture, but I'm called to love them and to love my neighbor. And so I'm going to continue to love on them and be friends with them, even though I might disagree with them. And so the politics, we need to engage in the politics, but it can't be the end all be all and then let it turn into hate, because that's what happens so much on the left. And that's where we get, you know, get Kamala and Greta with the how dare you, and there's no place for that. That's not what we are called to do.
Yeah. You know, we talked about Ronald Reagan and Art Laffer in the 6 o'clock hour of this show, and you know, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, they could get together at the end of the day and have a beverage together and talk things over, even though they were, you know, serious competitors all day long. Trying to advance their policy agenda, they could still get together at the end of the day. And that's why I enjoy, you know, going to Helena, for example, and, you know, when they have some of these get-togethers, because it's fun to go see not just the Republicans but the Democrats, too, and say hi, shake their hands. And, you know, even if I completely disagree with their policies, doesn't mean you can't still shake their hand and say hi and have a nice conversation. Tim and Savage, thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Greatly appreciate you joining us.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.